This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. And there's so much news going on today. We mentioned this yesterday and a couple of days ago. Give credit to our colleague, Jason Rance, who has a story up on MyNorthwest.com. But I was talking to a bunch of police officers over the weekend about how the legislature has made life so much more dangerous. And one of the cops was telling me how sophisticated these shoplifting and home break-in and car break-in rings are all around the region. They are so sophisticated. With the catalytic converters, they put them in U-Hauls and send them to the Midwest. And sometimes they strip them down for the valuable metal that is used in catalytic converters. But often, they don't strip out that metal. They will often return them back here to the Northwest, and they will sell them to people whose catalytic converters have been stolen at greatly inflated prices. And they discovered that selling intact catalytic converters might get them more money than just stripping the metal that's, whatever it is, $28, $280 an ounce. I know that's a big difference. I don't know. The officer mentioned it to me, but I didn't write it down. But it's become very sophisticated. Jason's story is about a homeless bazaar that is selling stolen goods and stolen booze that's in downtown Seattle. So while businesses are closing all over the region because of COVID, as we're reopening, we've also sent a message to heroin and meth addicts. You can walk into a business, you can grab an armful of stolen goods, and then you can fence it for pennies on the dollar. But you'll get your next hit. So a few blocks away from Pike Place Market is where this bazaar has popped up on the street. It appeals mostly to homeless people. It sells what appear to be stolen goods. And the city of Seattle has done nothing about it. This is on 3rd and Virginia. But you can buy a pair of jeans, some shirts. They hang some on the fence that's next to a construction project. The tags are on them, so you can see what they would cost if you bought it from a store. But they'll sell it to you for whatever they can get, because they need a fix. They have luggage that they've stolen, laundry detergent that they've walked out of the downtown pharmacy stores and Target with. Nordstrom items are on sale down there. You name it, and it's popping up. They have booze that they've stolen. Instead of drinking it themselves, they'll sell you a bottle of High West whiskey for about $20. It normally goes for $70 if you buy it retail, so why don't you get the black market whiskey? So it's all illegal, of course, but Seattle politicians have chosen to not do anything about it because they care more about criminal heroin and meth addicts than they do hardworking, tax-paying, job-creating business owners. So right now, you can buy things for pennies on the dollar, and Jason reached out to the mayor's office and said, should we remove this bazaar? They ignored his questions. It's unbelievable. Well, it's not unbelievable. This is Democratic politics at work. We have a city with record murder and shootings on the way this year, and we have rampant crime, businesses being destroyed, cars being broken into. I know a young man, late 20s, whose car was broken into in the Inner Bay neighborhood a few days ago. His work laptop, a work phone, brand new pair of Ray-Bans. And my first reaction was, I wanted to get mad. You left things in a car in Seattle? But then I realized, how insane has this gotten that we want to get angry at the victim? I mean, somebody broke a window got into a locked car, stole somebody else's goods, and things have gotten so topsy-turvy upside down around here that our first instinct is to blame the victim. And that's sick and wrong. So I didn't. I didn't say anything. I guess until now. Somebody's not listening, for crying out loud. All right, next up in the Fastest 15. I know that other media people listen to this show, and I would just like to caution my brethren in the media about a business that is in the news all the time. But let me back up a little bit. You may remember that we had an exclusive story a couple of years ago about the Finney Ridge Neighborhood Association up near Woodland Park Zoo, a business community. And they, you know, they've just been trying to make things festive and fun for the businesses in their neighborhood. And one of the ideas they had about 10 years ago, there was this, you know, silly little thing that parents have done with their kids for decades around Woodland Park Zoo, and it's become so, you know, prevalent that it just kind of got passed down over the years. They have a, it's not called Zoo Lights at Woodland Park. They have another name for it. But at Christmas time, they put up Christmas lights, and you can drive through Woodland Park Zoo and see all of the lights. And so the neighboring neighborhood association in Finney Ridge, they said, oh, we should do something so we can encourage people while they're in the neighborhood to, you know, drive through our around our little businesses in our little pretty neighborhood. And so the rumor that parents told their kids for years and years and years was that as we drive through the zoo, the monkeys have escaped from the cage. And look out for the monkeys when we're driving around. And so kids, yeah, it's kind of fun. We'd look out, see if they can see any monkeys that had escaped from the cage. So the Finney Ridge Neighborhood Association, they said, hey, let's do something with that. It's fun. So they asked their businesses, how about if you hang LED monkeys, you know, in your doorway and front windows, and that way the kids can see the monkeys in LED outline that have escaped from the zoo. It was just a fun little thing that they did. Well, they hired a new executive director at that Finney Ridge Neighborhood Association. And she said the monkeys are racist. And so the Finney Ridge Neighborhood Association said, oh, well, we'll stop doing the monkeys then. Because when somebody says you're racist, people just are paralyzed with fear, even if you're not a racist, which is so silly. I'll say it again. Nobody else can define who and what you are. Your own words, actions, and deeds define who and what you are. So, but the woman said they're racist. So they said, okay, we'll stop the monkeys. And then the office for this Finney Ridge Neighborhood Association was in a historic 1900s, built around 1900, schoolhouse that was in the neighborhood. And they had a little water fountain for the kids who attended the schoolhouse 120 years ago. And then a few years ago, they put in a more modern water fountain that had a bottle filler. And the same woman that they hired, a woman named Darnisha Weary, she said, that's racist to have two water fountains. What? Huh? What? And she said, now, it harkens back to the days of where we had two water fountains for the whites and the coloreds, she said. So they took out at great expense, I think it was close to $10,000. They took out a 110-year-old historic little water fountain because somebody said it was racist. And again, that was ridiculous. Okay, same person has, she and her husband have started a company called Black-Owned Coffee up in Shoreline. And I'm telling this story because I've heard a lot of stories in the news over the last year. One time they had a Molotov cocktail thrown at their business. Another time they had a swastika painted on their business. The FBI got involved both times. And the FBI, who are pretty good crime fighters, they could find nothing about who might have perpetrated these alleged crimes. And you would think most businesses would have a security camera, but there was no security camera. And every time, though, they get a lot of publicity. And I'm not saying it's self-inflicted. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying there are some hoaxes that happen at times. I'm not saying this is definitively. But now they're in the news again because now a window was smashed there. And they say that somebody smashed a window and stole a cash register and $100. And perhaps that happened. It very well may have. But I am a little surprised at how unblinkingly most in the media report these stories. It is a lot of publicity, and I would caution them. Because I know the FBI were not able to find any outside forces that committed those crimes, but they are still looking. So if all these are legit, I'm sorry this is happening to them. But maybe you should be a little bit careful because there are a lot of stories that are out there that maybe have a little more to them. Okay, let's get to the President of the United States here, who is Jay Inslee. No, I'm sorry. He lost. Darn it. Gosh, he would have been good. It's Joe Biden. And there is no question that Biden is in cognitive decline. There is absolutely no question. And it's not a laughing matter. It is very dangerous to have somebody in cognitive decline. He sounds much worse today than Ronald Reagan did at the end of his second term. But, you know, having dealt with a mother and a father-in-law who both had dementia as they passed, I know the trajectory of this, and you have all these warning signs, and they linger for a year or two. And I would tell you, probably most of you have been in this situation, that with your parents, you want to deny. You want to just say, well, it's because he's 82 years old. And everybody gets a little forgetful as we get older. We say that as kids. And I know why we say it, because I was in this situation. You don't want to have to take mom or dad into the house with you, where, especially if you have little kids, and now you're going to have a parent to also be a caretaker for. And so you try to rationalize in your head that it's not dementia. And it gets harder and harder to do. You also don't want to take away the car keys, because then you will have to drive mom or dad everywhere, to the grocery store, to the bank, to the post office, wherever they go. And you have kids to raise. You don't have time for that. So as kids of aging parents, we play all these mind games with ourselves to try to deny what we really know deep down. And that's where I think so many people are with the President of the United States right now. But having seen the trajectory, I know that when it goes from bad to desperately worse, it can be rapid. And apparently that's what happened to Ronald Reagan right after his second term. But there are certainly signs of it near the end of his second term. But Joe Biden sounds much worse today than Ronald Reagan did at the end of his second term. And it's not a laughing matter. In fact, it is very, very dangerous, because he was asked about the cyber attacks that everyone believes, intelligence agencies believe, are being instigated by Russian hackers. And Joe Biden said this about that.
You know, we've seen how cyber threats, including ransomware attacks, increasingly are able to cause damage and disruption in the real world. I can't guarantee this, and you're as informed as I am, but I think it's more likely we're going to end up, if we end up in a war, a real shooting war with a major power, it's going to be as a consequence of a cyber breach of great consequence, and it's increasing exponentially the capabilities.
Oh, can you imagine if Donald Trump had said that? That a cyber breach may lead to a shooting war with Russia, and the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of deaths that would ensue. Two nuclear powers. You hope and pray that neither one unleashes their nuclear capability. And Joe Biden is saying that a cyber attack may lead to a shooting war with Russia. That is highly irresponsible. It's dangerous. That's dangerous. So that's why I say this isn't a laughing matter anymore. This is incredibly dangerous that Joe Biden is the most powerful person in the world right now because he's not fully in control of things. And when he says stuff like that, it reflects how dangerous it is.
I have to seek permission to leave. I have to check your notice. Thank you again.
So you had to ask somebody, can I leave now? The president of the United States. And they said into the microphone, I have to ask somebody for permission to leave. And it's true. He does. Which is one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen with the president of the United States. That they can't just go where they want to go. They have. He has a handler. He has a handler who tells him where he has to go, what teleprompter to read, when he can leave. It's very, very sad. All right, and then finally today. So, Nicole, tell me who this person is, this Camila Cabello, because I've never heard of her.
She's a popular singer. She is Cuban-American. And sorry, I didn't know we were going to get to it, so I don't know if I bumped up the song for you.
Oh, that's okay.
But it's a very fun song. Mm-hmm. There it is. Sean, can I play it from my computer?
Yeah.
Hey. Is this a song I will recognize?
Well, I thought you would recognize it, but you shock me sometimes at what you do and don't recognize.
My heart is in Havana. He took me back to
I don't think I've ever heard.
It's been big for a couple years, Sean, right? Back me up on this one.
Oh, yeah, I've definitely heard this song on the radio, and it's the only one I think I know from Camila. Camilla.
On the radio? Who listens to the radio anymore? Oh, wait, time out. Hold on a second. All right, well, Sean, can we then launch into a cancel culture update here?
This is your cancel culture update.
Singer-songwriter Camila Cabello has been trying to appease the woke mob for years, even attending weekly racial healing classes. But the sessions are apparently not helping because she is now being accused by social justice warriors of having a background dancer in blackface because her background dancer has a bad spray tan, apparently. So now Cabello has to think of more creative ways to avoid being canceled. She performed her new hit, Don't Go Yet, on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, had a group of background dancers with her on stage. They presumably are Cuban also. And she posted a short clip of the performance on Twitter, and one of the dancers set Twitter afire. Ooh, I hate it when Twitter is set ablaze. Because they said that her spray tan looked like blackface. So I'm sorry, Camila Cabello. I know you've been taking weekly racial healing classes. I know that you are hoping to avoid being canceled because your backup singer has a bad spray tan. But this is something that we in America in 2021 can no longer abide by. Camila Cabello, you have been...
canceled, Unana.
This has been a cancel culture update.
Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Ooh, na, na.
That's part of her song, Dory. Her heart's in Havana, ooh, na, na. So I went with it.
Okay.
It worked. I thought that was great.
Thanks, producer. Thanks, producer. I love it.
And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast, Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Ah, it's a few minutes that just restores the soul. I'll visit with my friend Brock Heward. Coming, oh, lots to talk about, too. It's Simone Biles thing. And Brock told me something that I didn't think he was ever going to do, but he has now done. I'll share that with you. He'll share it with you next here on the Dory Monson Show.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's Hump Day with Huard.
Blue in it, check, 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 check. Brown 24 Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. Where the 12s hear the Hawks.
Play fake to Benny Russell, lets it go. Down the far sideline. Reaching up, making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Here's Dory Monson.
Yes, it is Wednesday afternoon. Brock Huard drops by for his weekly visit. And, oh, we've got some important Brock news.
We do?
Tell everybody today.
We do?
Yeah, well, I think so.
Because, oh, that I got vaccinated? You want to start with that? You want to just go there?
Yeah, let's start with that. Because,
you want to just jump right into the deep end?
Well, because we've talked a lot about this over the last year and a half. And what I had not told anybody was that you'd chosen to not get vaxxed because you had COVID, you had the antibodies, you have absolutely zero public health reason or medical reason to get vaccinated.
Correct. Correct. And it's what I told the Seahawks when, you know, the mandate came down from the NFL that in order to be in the broadcast booth and the press box to meet with players that you were going to have to get vaccinated. And I had hoped when that came down in June, I had hoped that common sense would prevail. And those of us that could display a positive pass test plus a blood test with antibodies would be able to have kind of equal footing as some other countries have done, but ours has not gone down that road. And I had an email from my other employer, Fox Sports, who did not mandate, unlike ESPN, that mandated all of their employees who travel. They pushed that and would have to get that. Fox did not do that. However, they were pretty clear and adamant that they fully expect the Pac-12, the Big Ten, the Big 12, many of the member institutions that we do work for, that they will follow the NFL route and, you know, force you to be vaccinated in order to get in their stadiums and be with their players. So in the end, I really had no choice. In the end, it was not my choice. So I went to Walgreens, got my shot, was sitting there waiting with about four other guys, Dory, that were similar age to me, all very similar stories. Yeah, work's making it impossible. They're making me quarantine, wear a mask. Like, they just, you know, made it so punitive that really I had no choice anymore, that I had to get this done. And so I come out, I get my shot, and I saw, golly, I just, you know, feel like I was forced into that. And this lady looked at me, and she snapped. She said, enough! I've heard enough of this! And she had her teenage grandson, and I looked at her, I was like, what? And she's like, well, you must not have watched somebody die on a ventilator to hear this nonsense out of your mouth, you selfish little brat. And I was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So what do you do in that moment? What does Dory Monson do in that moment? What do you do?
You just walk away.
No, you don't just walk away.
Oh, Brock, what
no,
did you do?
No, you don't just walk away.
What did you do?
No, I just said, whoa, 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 whoa. Wow. Really? And she's like, yeah, really? I've listened to enough of this. I'm like, well, here's my story. You share your opinion and I'll share mine. And mine is that I had had COVID. I have been blood tested. I have antibodies. And, you know, I am of the public health opinion.
But Brock, you can't talk sense into somebody like that.
No. So we go into it and she's like, you know, you do it for others. And I said, okay. So if I go home and get a blood clot tonight, then what? And she's like, you'll go to the emergency room and you'll get taken care of. I said, well, maybe I'll get on a ventilator. Like, you don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, you just screamed at me. You just totally screamed at me and made a scene in front of all these people when you don't know my story, right? And so actually, you know, then, well, of course, it's the old president's fault. He was an idiot. He was a buffoon.
You know what's weird? You're one of the most loving people I know.
Yeah.
I'm equally loving, but I'm perceived as being filled with hate. And yet you get into all these public confrontations at girls' basketball games and at Walgreens. I never have a public confrontation.
Yes. It was good, though. Like, honestly, it was. Like, it ended, and I said, hey, you know, I hope that this was beneficial, that you can have your opinion, I can have my opinion, we can live in America with differing opinions, and, you know, that you learned a little something from me, and I certainly hear you, and I'm sorry for your loss and what you had experience in this. So I wish we could all be reasonable. I wish we could.
We can't. This is America 2021.
Yes.
I think that's too ambitious a dream. Yes. Hey, so real quick, because I have something else I want to talk to you about. But given your experience now, what do you think about this Wazoo football coach who won't get vaxxed when it's been mandated for all students and staff?
I think he's going to face a road like I did, that ultimately, if he's going to be in the stadium, the conference is going to demand that he does it. So I think Nick Rolovich is waiting it out. Decided to do media days via Zoom, hoping that, you know, in his case, he probably more than likely, I don't want to speak for him or totally speculate, Dory, but my hunch is that some of these men, Rick Dennison, who got fired from the Minnesota Vikings, another assistant O-line coach in the NFL, you know, basically went down and just all the way to the end said, nope, not going to do it. And my hunch is that they have probably had this virus in the past and they have antibodies and are hoping that eventually, you know, they can display that like this vaccine card I'm looking at on my desk. But that's not, I don't think that's going to happen between now and kickoff 30 days away. Hey,
did this happen soon enough? So are you back on with your usual Seahawks preseason game?
No. I think they moved a different direction. So.
Oh, when they thought you were not going to be vaccinated.
Correct. Okay. So, which I totally understand.
And I do too.
And they've got to do their job, and those are the rules with which they've got to follow. And those are the rules that I got to follow.
One other thing that I talked about a lot yesterday, I wanted to get your perspective. So I talked a lot about American gymnast Simone Biles, who quit in the team competition in the middle of it. You were a pro athlete. Your wife was D1. Let's face it, probably all three of your kids. You have one now, which all three are going to be D1 athletes, I think. So what's your view on, because you've had raised some pretty steely athletic kids. Mm-hmm. What's your view on somebody who quits in the middle of a team competition?
I don't know if you went this angle. There's about 100 of them, Dory, and you've certainly seen both sides of it. You've seen the one side, Clay Travis and Kirk, and screaming and yelling. She's anti-American and she's selfish and she's a diva. She is an amazing competitor.
She's arguably the most decorated female gymnast.
She has been in the battles. She has won gold medals. She has fought the good fight. She has been an amazing talent. This was not the first time on the stage and stage fright. So I am by no means going to be on one end of the spectrum. On the other is, hey, you know, like celebrating it. I don't know if I go there either. I think I sit right in the middle, and I honestly say this is yet another byproduct of total isolation. This is another byproduct of not having a support system of family and friends and loved ones there. This is another byproduct of being in the fish tank with no fans around you. Can't feed off the fans, right? You know, some of that nervous energy. I remember the worst times, Dory, was the bus ride to the stadium. And I'd be, my stomach would be in knots. My mind would be racing, just like, oh. But then I come out in that stadium, and there's something about 70,000 either for you or against you that you just kind of melts some of that away. So I think the isolation had a lot to do with this, more than anything else, and it just sucks.
She mentioned that, and I don't know what she's going through, and I know that mental distress and mental challenges are very real, and so I had one, Dory.
I don't think I've ever even shared this story with you. I had like a breakdown in camp in Indianapolis where I hated it. I was isolated. I had a coordinator that hated me. It was just not a healthy situation. And I told Coach Dungy, I said, hey, Tony, like, I got to go home, you know, and I bought my own plane ticket at the gate in Indianapolis. I flew home for about 30 hours. Got some counsel from friends and loved ones and pastors and others, and went back to camp and you know, just put it together for them, for my family. I think for my future, knowing, man, if I walk away from this, this will always live with me. This will carry with me that I quit on my team and teammates and left the Colts in a tough spot. And eventually Tony Dungy and teammates and ministry and friends and community, you know, bolstered me and helped me and propelled me. Otherwise, if I had none of that, it would have probably been a different decision.
Understood. Well, and my take is, so I don't want to assign blame to her, except for one thing, which I'll get to. But I hate the media reaction where it's all, they're celebrating it, and this is so courageous. No, quitting is not courageous. Mm. And to send that message that's not a good constructive message to send to kids, that quitting is courageous. So I hate the reaction. And here's the blame I'll assign to her. There is a girl who has had been training her entire life, working probably since age 4 or 5, dreaming of being a U.S. Olympian, and she did not make the team. She was the bubble girl who did not make the team because Simone Biles chose to play, and then she quits in the middle of the competition.
Yeah.
And that's where I'll assign blame to her, not because of the mental distress, but just taking a spot from a kid who probably will never get to fulfill that dream now.
Yeah, and, you know, equally your teammates there that are counting on you, the greatest of all time, right, to do your job for them, to win the gold as a team for them. So, you know, those are all hard conversations. Those are realities. I don't play into the media side of that at all. I just kind of silence it and flush a lot of it and know that there's going to be some hurt and some pain from her with those teammates and friends and sponsors and everybody else. But as I said, if I land anywhere, it is yet another byproduct of this ridiculous isolation and lockdown that we have put people in when we are not wired as human beings and people, Dory, to sit in isolation. We're just not.
Yeah. Nope. I think it's a great point and a great one to end on. Brock Heward, you can hear his podcast on 710sports.com. And also Fox Sports all fall long. Good talk.
Do you think that lady would have snapped at me if you were with me? You said none of these things ever happened. Do you think it's just your boyish good looks?
I think it's your charm and
charisma in person.
When I'm off the air, I have a calming effect on people.
Yes.
Yeah. When you walk around with me, it's like walking around with a little golden retriever puppy.
rolls on. See ya.
Yesterday, we had a Dory Monson Show exclusive. A listener sent me this tip. King County Parks is going to pay a consultant $50,000 to tell them why people don't want to use King County Parks anymore. And so yesterday on the show, I made an incredibly generous offer. I said, I'll tell you for half of that, for $25,000, why people don't want to use the King County Parks. Too many of them have homeless encampments. Too many of the homeless encampments are filled with heroin and meth users who are criminals. They steal to support their habit. There are heroin needles all too often in our parks throughout the region. And it's just no longer an inviting place for families. That's why people don't want to go to King County Parks anymore. So I gave them that for free. It was a real show of good faith because I asked them to send my $25,000 check to me in care of Cairo Radio. And I'm sure that it's in the pipeline right now. And then I looked, well, I guess I didn't meet all of the qualifications on it's called King County Parks Community Conversations About on Safety. They don't proofread, I guess, before they send these things out. Community Conversations About on Safety, Belonging, and Inclusion in King County's Parks and Trails. That's a big word now. I've noticed that when you shake the old folk word dice, belonging is one of the catchphrases. But I started thinking about this after the show. Do you realize that King County has a budget of $12.4 billion? King County has 15,000 employees, more than half making six figures. They don't have one person who can tell them why nobody wants to use King County Parks anymore? They have to hire an outside consultant for $50,000? Your tax dollars at work. This is why I say, if I was in charge, I could cut two-thirds of government and nobody would feel a thing except the people who need to work in the private sector after I slash. Okay, we're going to check the news for you. And then Big Lead at 2 is coming up next.